Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:45 a.m. Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 4th, and I'm recording a little bit earlier because I'm pressured for time this afternoon. But I think the big point in here right now is to look at government bonds. There is a raging argument going on. On the one hand, you have people that believe that the bond market is the only lead indicator, that if bond yields are not rising, it means that the bond market is much better at predicting economic activity than the stock market, and that we are headed into trouble, that there's no way the Fed is going to be able to raise interest rates. So that is one school of thought. There is another school of thought which says that bond yields have gone up a bit, and that the Fed have raised rates, that that is a meaningful event, that we have been in a period of extraordinarily loose monetary policy, and that we are at the very beginning of a tightening cycle, and that this is something that we need to sit up and pay attention to. We could distill these arguments down into two different camps. One is that this is still a 36, 37 year bull market where buying the dips has worked every time. So buy the dip now. We've had a dip, buy the dip. That would be the bullish side. The bearish side is that we have had the largest run up in yields since at least the taper tantrum. That they are coming off extraordinarily low levels. This is a market which is experiencing much more volatility after what has been an incredible rally, and that this is topping activity. What is it that is going to confirm the something, or I guess the victory of one of those arguments over the other? Right now, 10-year yields are at the lower side of the range, right at the lower side of the range. There is, and every time it has got down to this level, in the on the last four occasions since, really since the beginning of December, then we've had a move in yields. Over the last. With the decline in yields since the middle of the first or second week of March, the equity market has been going sideways. If yields were to contract beyond really 2.3%, that would likely suggest that the equity market is going to move into a somewhat lengthier, perhaps somewhat deeper pullback. But if we go back to that big question. The question about really, where are we in terms of this massive bond market bull? What is it that we can, is there anything at all that we can really conclude from that? We have to look at the total return. Obviously, the total return is something that is important from any investor's perspective. It isn't all about trading. And when we look at this 5-year chart of the total return index for 10-year treasuries, we can see that this pullback is larger than the one that we saw in 2013 for the during the taper tantrum. But some short-term support has been found. And the 200-day moving average is, and this is the simple moving average, it is right there. So what we really do need to see is that it sustains a move below it. It needs to break down to new lows. It did not do that in 2013, and it needs to do it now. If we saw the total return index breaking downwards, then that would really confirm that we have had a type 2 top with right-hand extension and completion characteristics, and that would be the really the smoking gun that would confirm that we are in a bear market. Otherwise, there is still going to be at least some credibility that investors should be buying the dips. When we look at stock markets against that background, then we can see that the S&P 500 has been reasonably steady. It was able to rally pretty impressively off its lows yesterday. There have been and I think that it is important that yesterday we had Tesla breaking out, and that was a victory for the new economy, and it is improving on that performance today. But O'Reilly Automotive was really has now top formation characteristics. It was able to rally off its low yesterday, but it is down very marginally today. But if that were to sustain a move below 250, that would be completing a type 3 top. And that was the leading decliner yesterday. And I think this is a microcosm for what we're seeing in the technology sector and disruption that new technologies are creating. Because generally speaking, new car sales were disappointing, but Tesla was beating expectations. And there are far fewer moving parts in an electric vehicle. And I think anyone who has a car that isn't brand new will know that some of these parts are engineered to fail after a few years. There are even, and particularly in some of the German automakers, the parts are coded so that after 5 years, if you put what is in effect a new part but that has been sitting on the shelf for 5 years into the vehicle, it will not work. So there is an entire cycle around the parts industry, and what we are seeing is that there is increasing evidence of top formation development in a number of these shares. AutoZone has got a very similar pattern, and I think it's Advance Auto Parts has got type 2 top characteristics with right-hand extension. And the fact that you have such commonality is really an indictment of the bullish characteristics, because this was an incredible bull market. The share went from a low of $20 to a peak of almost 300 in since really late 2008, and now that would appear to be over. So we are certainly getting a rotation. We are getting some additional. I think that there is a real impact of technology, and that it is affecting increasing numbers of sectors that we have already seen that. That your record stores, book sellers have disappeared to in many respects, and the there is the potential for mass disruption in the parts of internal combustion engines if this in fact represents the increasing growth trend of electric vehicles. When we look further afield. The Eurostoxx index is in mildly positive territory. It has been doing really rather well. And part of the reason for that is because the euro has been weak. The euro is still pulling back from that 108 level. It has steadied somewhat around the 106 level, but there has been nothing in the way of upward dynamics. I think as long as the ECB is committed to its policy of monetary accommodation, it is going to be hard to make a very clear bullish case for the euro. And the FTSE 100 is, I think, a pretty important index. It has broken out to new 17-year high, well, to new all-time highs, and completed a 17-year range. This is something that really does speak to something quite clearly different, and as long as it is holding that breakout, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The Nifty index in Italy, excuse me, in India, I made that exact same mistake yesterday. In India, was additionally, it was firm yesterday and it was closed today. But this, I think, is perhaps most important, is that the banking sector has been a lead indicator for India for really the last decade, and it is also breaking on the upside and outperforming the Nifty index, and that really does speak to the potential for additional upside. I think one of the most important points about India is that they have launched 4G in just the last 3 months, and if you put And I think one of the great miracles of handheld devices is that they are they're easily used by people who are illiterate, and we all have seen that either with our children or grandchildren, that children can pick up how to use a mobile device way before they ever can really figure out how to read and write. And that's very important, because 40% of the Indian population is illiterate, And there is a significant proportion of those people do not have bank accounts. But with fingerprint technology and the ease of use of mobile technology, then they can have online bank accounts, they can have mobile devices, and that will open up a whole realm of additional economic activity for those people. So I think that the banking sector does not need to focus on physical locations, but that we could have some really profound changes in India over the next few years. With Xi Jinping in the US chatting with Donald Trump, the Shanghai A-Share Index was in mildly positive territory today. I think it really does behoove us to look at the weekly chart, and it has been really quite inert. And I continue to believe that that is largely engineered. They don't want to see the kind of declines or the really profound volatility that they had in 2015, and they are managing this index in to remain in this upward bias, but in a relatively inert fashion. The renminbi is almost certainly going to be a topic of conversation for the Xi Trump discussions. And interesting that it hasn't been updated since the 31st of March on this chart. It has really pulled back, and in the dollar has pulled back since the beginning of the year, but it hasn't really rallied to any great extent, and this continues to look like a mean reversion. It did rather plunge to test that 7 area, so there is potential for some additional steadying by the renminbi, but it would really need to sustain a move below the trend mean to even begin to question that this isn't still a medium-term downtrend for the renminbi. And the Australian market is also worth keeping an eye on, that it was pretty much unchanged in here today, but the most important thing it's done is breaking above that 5,800 level in just the last week. The Japanese yen has been attracting flows and is back testing this 110 level, but 110 also represents the region of the trend mean. It's a big psychological level, and I think that we would need to see some I think a clear risk-off trade, and perhaps some panicky or some at least something to act as a catalyst to really stoke people to start buying the yen at stronger than 110. I think that it had done this was a really quite abrupt move down to 120. It is now strengthened to 110, and I'd be kind of surprised if it goes very much further than that. And the Nikkei index is towards the lower side of its range, and it did steady off that low today. So I think the other markets that are that I think a lot of people will be looking at is gold. Gold is right there in the region of its progression of lower rally highs. It's had these lower highs really since July of last year. You don't need to draw the trend line, but it is really quite obvious that there is this progression of lower rally highs, and it is right in the region of $1,250. It really does need to push on and post a new recovery high and hold it. If it can do that, then we will have a confirmation that a higher reaction low is in, and that we are moving back into demand dominance beyond what has been short-term steadying. And oil prices were a little bit firmer in here today as well, and pushing up towards the lower side of that overhead trading range. And a clear downward dynamic would confirm resistance in that area. I continue to think that it is going to be difficult for oil prices to sustain a move above $60, that we are in for a volatile, rangy environment, and that the reality is that with renewables on the march, that and that represent the additional supply that's coming from unconventional oil and gas, that is something that is going to contain oil prices into the medium term in the absence of another cut by OPEC. And that could not be ruled out, not least because the Saudi Arabians want higher oil prices so they can sell their company. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.